lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 384, stanzas 1 through 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1 through 5 of 384.
Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of the Psalms, and thereof Psalm 61. Psalm 61, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 61, to the chief musician upon Nagana, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy servant did say unto thee, lift I up my soul. O could it be also in the heart of each and every one of us, and that we do desire to lift up our soul to thee in this hour, that thou mayest inspect it, that thou mayest turn it round, and that thou mayest uncover everything that is within and that is hidden from our own eyes in the way of deceit and guile, but that thou wouldest make us a new heart of flesh, oh, that our soul may be renewed, and that we may be made to fear the name of the Lord. O thou knowest what we are called to in the week and that is set before us. O thou hast a desire for thy people, that they would give themselves to thee, and thou hast a desire to bestow upon sinners the balm of Gilead. Thou sayest unto thy people, wherefore are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Thou wouldest strengthen them, that they might receive so freely, without money and without price, what thou hast paid for, what thou hast bought, what thou hast received on their behalf, and the free forgiveness of all of their iniquities. O Lord, thou knowest we are no sinner by nature in ourselves. We do not see it. We do not count ourselves among them and that have need of grace. O Lord, we are lifted up with pride. We are lifted up with riches and goods. Oh, we need to be brought down. Otherwise, there is no place in our life and in our heart for the free gifts of God. that thou dost bestow upon a poor sinner. Lord, thou knowest if thou makest us to see a little bit of all that is within us, then we feel ourselves to be so unworthy of all thy notice or attention, and of all that thou wouldest give unto us, without money and without price. And so men hesitate to come to that blessed throne of grace. O Lord, thou wouldest strengthen them in it, the poor and the needy, or that thou mayest give also in the midst of us what is necessary to know of ourselves and also of thee. Oh, we must examine ourselves, Lord, in the wicked that is before us. How shall we do so? With a heart that is deceitful and full of guile above all things and desperately wicked. But thou sayest that thou wilt guide the meek in judgment. O Lord, that thou wouldest teach us, that thou wouldest lead us. Thou sayest that thou wilt teach sinners in the way, and that thou wouldest lead them to know themselves and thee. O Lord, thou knowest the place of where that they do lay, whom thou hast instructed a little bit in the knowledge of themselves. O Lord, that thou may look upon the meek in the weak that is lying before us. O that thou wouldest indeed show them thy paths as thou dost promise, and that thou wouldest teach them thy ways. O that thou wouldest lead them into all thy truth and teach them. O they do cry to thee for it, for that instruction, and because they are so ignorant, and for wisdom because they are so foolish. And then they must know in this week what is thy will for them also in particular. O that thou mayest show it, Lord, that thou mayest reveal thy own work, or that thou mayest give light upon light, that thou mayest show what is thy work and what is man's work, and that thou wouldest keep us from taking the children's bread, and when we are no children, all that we might desire to be a child, or that such desires would be born also in this day, in this afternoon hour, Lord, in this week, when we do go to our places in our inner chambers, and when we do say, Lord, I am on the outside of it, oh, then it is not belonging unto me. Oh, that thou wouldest convert me also, or that it would be in the hearts of children and young people, of fathers and of mothers, and that we could not miss thee any longer, and that we could not any more be on the outside of the blessed portion of the true people of the Lord. Oh, that thou mayest do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. Magnify the name of thy dear and only begotten Son, and all the mediatorial labors that he has done for the sake of poor sinners that cannot deliver themselves out of their wretchedness and out of their misery. O thou knowest the many questions that do lay in the hearts, especially when thou hast given a little light. O Lord, they have so many riddles, so many perplexities. O that thou mayest make it clear, and that thou mayest also reveal thyself unto those who are come to the birth, O Lord, and there is no strength to bring forth, O that thou mayest come in the days in which we live, and make it Christmas in the life of thy people, O that they might joy and rejoice in that Son of God, O whom thou hast sent into the world to save such as I am, O that they may be given a little eye to behold the goodness of God in his only begotten and beloved Son, or that they may hear also that voice of thy servant Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Or that there may be such a need that is born in our hearts for him, and that we may drink it in, or that we may be given to benefit from thy, from the proclamation of the name of thy dear Son, the only name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Care for us, O Lord. And when we have in our hearts no care for all these things, oh, when we have a heart that is as hard as Gallio's, oh, break it, Lord. Break it in this afternoon hour. Oh, that thy goodness may make our heart to melt. And when we see all the blessings that thou dost bestow upon us, not only in this life, food and drink, clothing, shelter and love, but also in the way of thy house of prayer. Oh, to bring us up continually, and there that we might hear that everlasting gospel preached unto sinners. Oh, could it be, and that our hearts might break, and that we may receive a true sorrow for all of our sin, that we might mourn therefore, and that we may come with dust and ashes upon our heads, clothed in sackcloth and rending our garments, oh, coming with tears and supplications to thy blessed throne of grace, a place from which none has been thrust, when he may come in true repentance. Oh, come, Lord, come to us and our dear children. Care for all the needs and wants, and the bodies, the minds, and all the cares that are in this world, the consequences of our sin being so very great. Watch over all those that are sick. Watch over all that are wayward, that thou may bring them back once again. Wilt thou give a place for thy word to go in the midst of our families, but also in the midst of this and these our countries wherein we may live, and over the length and breadth of this whole world, to the Jewish nation, to the mission fields also, where those do labor even from among us. Lord, be on their right and on their left each and every day, and wilt thou supply for them in all the needs and cares and loneliness, and that thou may give them encouragement as thou alone art able to do. Look upon our school and our parents and all that instruct our children. Oh, give the instructors themselves, parents, and a tender fear of thy name, and our children and our youth in the days of their youth to remember their Creator, while the evil days come not, wherein they shall say, I have no desire in them. Remember us in this hour. O Lord, fill us with thy Spirit from on high. Oh, could it be a little while when we are in thy house? Oh, give us a little separation from everything that can bother our minds and distract us. Oh, take away all sleepiness, all drowsiness, and everything that Satan brings in our heart, all that rebellion and all the carelessness. Oh, give us to attend unto the things that are spoken, and may it be that thy word may be experienced to be quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and that thou may give thy name to be magnified and a sinner to be saved. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 212 all the stanzas. I thought upon the days of old, the years departed long. I held communion with my heart by night recalled my song and what follows in 212, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, next week, the Lord willing, we hope to commemorate once again the Holy Supper of the Lord. That is according to the command of Christ, and that we commemorate this until He come again, according to His command that is to be done under self-examination. For what? What must we examine ourselves for? Well, God's word says it is for worthiness. For worthiness. Because the apostle Paul says that he who eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself. You say worthiness. Who then is worthy? Did not the centurion say, I am not worthy to come under, that thou shouldest come under my roof? That is true. That is why, of course, it needs always explanation, doesn't it? Then it is not for worthiness, for the gifts and for the blessings and for the favor and for the grace of God, because grace that is actually for the unworthy, even by its very definition, that is now what it is. But Paul has rebuked the Corinthians that they have commemorated that supper of the Lord in a light manner, that they did that in a very carnal manner, and that they did it in a way that was disregarding the spiritual nature of that sacrament. And thus the Apostle Paul says, your carnal hunger must be fed at home, and that you are to bring here to this supper not carnal hunger and bodily hunger, but you are to bring here to this supper spiritual hunger, that is soul hunger, that is necessary, because if we not do it not with soul hunger, then he says we eat and drink not a blessing, but we eat and drink damnation unto ourselves. Self-examination indeed does concern outward matters, because the Lord's Supper is not for those who are not confessing members of the church. So there is the first point that we have of self-examination. Are we a confessing member of God's church? You say, why not? Because we have a duty. And if we are not, then we are not maintaining the unity of the church of God. And thus, that is lying upon us in the first place. And when we are separated from that Holy Supper on account of this, and then we have a testimony, and that we do separate ourselves from the blessings of God, which He is giving unto His own church, then we have also another examination, and that is about our life, about our walk, whether or not we have a desire in our heart to walk in accordance with the Word of God, that we are not an offense unto God, and that we are not an offense also unto God's people. In the third place, Then we have also to ask ourselves whether we have not only a church right, but also a divine right. And what does that mean? That means that we have to be one of those for whom that supper has been instituted. And for whom has it been instituted? That is for those who possess true saving faith. Because true saving faith, that is something that needs to be strengthened. And that is the reason that the Lord has instituted that supper. That is not for a faith which needs no strengthening, which we find so much in Christianity today, but it is for a faith which is not able of itself to give itself the exercises which it desires. And thus, we have each one of us to examine ourselves. Children, that is not so easy for you. And that is why children also are not permitted to come to the Holy Supper of the Lord, not because you cannot be converted, but because the self-examination is something that belongs to an adult. But young people, the older that you become, the more capable that you also become of examining your own soul. And thus, you must try also to do so. And even though that you are not yet a confessing member, still, may the Lord give you a heart that may look inside in the week that is to come, and that you may also be given a blessing, maybe even in the seat where that you are. To begin, we wish to consider with you in this afternoon the words of our text, which can be found in Psalm 61, and thereof the third verse. Psalm 61, verse 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. So far, the words of our text. Prayer enlivened by past deliverances. First, the prayer. We find that in verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is the prayer. And secondly, the enlivening of this prayer. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Thus prayer enlivened by past deliverances. First the prayer, and second the enlivening of this prayer. It is congregation, a Psalm of David. We do not know exactly what the historical context of this psalm is, but we do certainly know what the circumstances are, because the circumstances are described by David in the words of our text. What does he say? He says, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. I think there is more than one situation in David's life that would fit these circumstances, but most people believe that David is lying here at Mahanaim, that is just on the other side of the River Jordan, and that he is at this time a fugitive, running from, for the sake of his own life, his own son Absalom. David is not so far away from home, maybe 100 kilometers or so. And it is not that he is so far away from his family, not that he is so far away from his friends, because his family and his friends, well, they have all come along with him. But David feels that he is far from something else. And what is that? Oh, David speaks about the tabernacle of the Lord. David misses that tabernacle. Did you ever miss the tabernacle of the Lord, young people? David cannot do without the Lord. And though he is not very far away, he is restrained by the providences of the Lord from coming into that house of the Lord. And David now misses the presence, the nearness, the favor of the Lord in his heart. And he longs that he may be in that sanctuary of God. And thus we will begin here. We may ask ourselves whether we know such a desire like David had in his heart. Because the life of grace does not go without such a desire. The longing for the house of God. And when we are not able to be in that house, we feel a certain separation, a certain disappointment. Or have you felt that? Maybe children, boys and girls, maybe you have been sick lately. There has been so much sickness. Oh, and then you say, oh, I have to stay home. Or is that then a burden to you that you say, oh, I wish that I could go up into the house of God? Never? You never felt that? Then we have to question something. You know what we have to question? Whether the love of the Lord lives in your heart. Because if the love of the Lord lives in your heart, then the Lord's day in the Lord's house, the Lord's favor and the Lord's presence and the Lord's nearness, and his commands, that will mean everything unto us. And so we read it also of David. David says, my heart is overwhelmed. David says, I feel like I am going to drown, like I am going to perish. You say, that is understandable, because his own son has lifted up his hand against him and he wants to slay him. Oh, Absalom would put a dagger into the heart of his own father. You say, that is true. Absalom is a wicked man. Absalom is an ungrateful son. Absalom has a rebellious heart. Absalom ought to be judged. He ought to be punished. He ought to be slain. And David knows that too. Wicked Absalom. Yes. But David sees more than wicked Absalom. Do you know what he sees? He sees wicked David. That is who he sees. When he is lying there at Mahanaim. Oh no, it is not his son in the first place. Although his son is very bad. And his son deserves to be punished. He would spare his son. And he would take the punishment upon himself. And why is that? Oh, David has himself to blame, doesn't he? Oh, the Lord has said it to David, that the sword shall not depart from thy house. And now when David is laying at Mahanaim, oh, there is so much that comes back to him. You know, the Lord, as soon as the Lord brings us into a little trouble, then everything comes back. All of our sin that is coming back to us. And even the Lord can forgive a man. But a man does not forgive himself. And then he is blaming himself above everything that everybody around him is able to do to him. But he said, I am now the first cause of all of this. Are you ever overwhelmed? Were you ever overwhelmed? When the Lord opened to you a little bit of your own sin, of your own transgression, did you ever feel like you were going to drown? Did you ever feel like you were going to perish? Were you ever overwhelmed because of your guilt? Because of the pollution, because of the corruption, and that is living in your heart? David can only say one thing. He can only say, it is my own fault. David has only to smite upon his own breast. And then he looks nowhere else. Oh, you say, well, how am I supposed to feel like David? Because I have never committed adultery. And I have never murdered anyone. And so you want me now to feel like David. But I have never done what he has done. Oh, that is good. And hopefully, congregation, that when you die, you lay down your head upon your dying pillow, and you take your last breath, that will not have changed. That you have never done what David has done. But I have a question for you. Do you ever feel how little space there is between the disposition of our heart, the motives of our heart, the lusts, the desires? How little space there is between all that lives in our heart and the deed. You ever feel that? You ever say, actually, that's all I need is one thing. That was the opportunity. And if I was brought into that same opportunity as David, I'd have done the same thing. You ever feel that? And so you say, it is only the Lord who did not give me the opportunity, which makes my heart what? Same as David's, doesn't it? Same as David's. You ever feel that? That is now what the Lord is instructing his church in. That there is no sin that is described in that holy Bible that I am not capable of performing. Because it all lies here. It all lies in my heart. And if the Lord only would fail to keep me, as the apostle says, kept. And if the Lord would only fail to keep me for one moment, all then it would come out before the whole congregation, the evil and the sin that lives in my heart. David says, my heart is overwhelmed. And now in these circumstances, oh, where does he go with it? You ever feel that too? You say, where do I go with it all? With that sinful existence. And then I received so little in my life of what I deserve from that side of the Lord. In that condition, David is far away from the tabernacle of the Lord. That is a great trouble to him. Because when Hannah's heart was overwhelmed,
Where did she go? She went into the tabernacle of God. When Asaph's heart was overwhelmed, where did he go? He went into the sanctuary of God. And there the Lord delivered him. Then he saw the end of the wicked. Then he was not jealous of them anymore. But congregation, David cannot go there. David is kept there, kept from there. David is far away from that house of God. And so what does David do? Maybe you do that too. Do you do that too? When you are far away, not because you wanted to stay away, because you cannot come there, and that is a grief to you. And then you know that the Lord, He is able to be a sanctuary also when I am far away from that house of God. And now David, he goes on his knees and he begins to cry to God. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Oh, congregation, did you ever cry to God when your heart was overwhelmed? Did you ever cry to God when you are at the end of the earth, maybe in the feelings of your own soul, maybe with all your family around you, all your friends around you, say, actually, I am not so far away. I have everything in this life that I want. But in the feelings of your soul, you are at the ends of the earth. And you say, oh, I have brought myself to the end of the earth. It is my own sin which has now separated me from that favor and that presence of the Lord. And there you cry. In the feelings of your own soul, David, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is not just a rock, boys and girls, like a little stone, no. No, that is a mountain David is talking about. That is very, very firm when the storm is coming and the rain is coming. Or then the wind is blowing. Then David is looking, as it were, to a hiding place, to a cave or something, a mountain, something that is immovable in that storm, that is a place of safety, that is used to symbolize something. And he says a rock that is to symbolize the protection of the Lord, the support of the Lord, that is the divine hiding place in the midst of all human troubles, that is a place, as it were, to hide in God. So Jerusalem, we know, that was a stronghold, and that was built upon the mountains, and then it was a figure. David speaks about that figure. He says, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. So this stronghold that is a picture of, David says, the protection that there is in God, that is the soul's protection, that is pictured by something that is visible. And now David says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David desires to feel something of the presence of the safety, of the protection that is in God as a hiding place. When he is overwhelmed, that is with his own sin, when he is overwhelmed with his own guilt and all of the consequences that are flowing out of his own sin, then he says, lead me to that rock. Why does he say? Well, David says, he cannot come there. It is too high for him. He says, it is a rock that is higher than I. Or he says, Lord, wilt thou lead me to that rock? Wilt thou lead me into that protection? Wilt thou lead me into that safety? It's not for his body, that is for his soul, that he wants to feel it in his soul. There are so many people today, they say, just go there, just hide yourself now in that rock. You must just believe now, because Christ is that rock. You must now believe for your own soul and hide yourself in that rock, then you will feel something of that protection. Oh, that is so true. That is so true. But congregation, did you ever say like David, that that rock is higher than I? That that is a rock that I am not able just to hide myself in? Did you ever pray like David? That is a prayer that is so little felt need of today in the Christian world. Oh, lead me. Lead me to that rock. Lead me to know and to feel something of that protection from that just judgment, that righteous judgment that is due unto me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, especially when our heart that is overwhelmed by our own sin, by our own fault. Oh, then we feel that it is not so easy to just climb into that hiding place. And Satan, he is also always busy. But David wants to come there. What does he want? He wants faith in exercise. David wants to believe. Because believing, congregation, that gives then that sense that David might feel something of that safety of the Lord. Because that is what comes through faith. So what is that leading that he desires? Oh, he desires that that faith may be given to him, that may be strengthened in him. David cries to God for it. You say, how does he dare? Is he not so unworthy of it because of his sin? Oh, yes, that is what makes it so difficult for David. But there is something that spurs him on to make him cry. To make him cry with hope. To make him cry with expectation that enlivens that cry in his heart. And what is that? The enlivening of his prayer, David says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Thou hast been. What is David doing? David is there laying in his guilt. There he is laying in his misery. There he is laying in Mahanaim. There he is being pursued. His very life is being pursued. There he is crying to God. And then David looks back in his life. You ever look back in your life? Or do we just go on? Because this week, it is necessary also to look back in our life. That is reflection. That is self-examination. That is what has now, if anything, has taken place in my life. That is now what David is doing. And David now takes courage to cry and to beg and to plead with the Lord, because of what the Lord has been to him in the past. That gives him courage. Say, does he have ground for that? Is there good reason for that? If the Lord has given to him something in the past, does that mean that the Lord will give him something in the future? Congregation, if it has all to do with providential things in this life, no. Not at all. Because the Lord is good to the whole world. And everyone in the world. How many blessings and how many mercies did the Lord not give to King Saul? And finally the Lord forsook him. He was not one of his. He remained a wicked man under all the blessings that the Lord had given to him. And if the Lord bestows all his blessings upon us and our heart is never changed, never turned to him, then the same will happen as happened to King Saul. But David is not speaking here just about temporal things. No, David is speaking here about soul matters. David is speaking here about spiritual matters. And congregation, when these have been given to us in our life, that is now a matter of great encouragement for the true church of God. Why? David says, thou hast been a shelter for me. Why is that a comfort to him? Why does that now give him courage? Why does that now enliven his heart to cry unto God in his circumstances? Why? Because God is unchangeable. Because he is a rock. Because he is immovable. Why? Because of his covenant. Because of his faithfulness. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Spiritual mercies, spiritual blessings are only distributed by him to his people, never unto the wicked. And thus, that is a matter of great encouragement. When the Lord begins, all the Lord does not forsake the work of his own hands. And now when David is in trouble, all David is going back. And David is saying, O Lord, what hast thou now been to me in the past? Is it not true, Lord, that thou hast been to me in the past a shelter for my soul? Or when everything testified against me in all my guilt and in all of my sin, thou hast been to me a shelter. Thou hast been to me a strong tower from the enemy. And therefore, David has expectation and hope in crying unto the Lord this time. Let us sing Psalter 5, 1 through 5. O Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many rise. How many say in vain for help? He on his God relies. 1 through 5 of Psalter 5.
For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. What congregation is a shelter? That is a hiding place, a place of refuge from the rain, from the storm, from the wind. And a strong tower that was well known in David's days, because then they would build a city with great walls for protection, and they would put towers on those walls. They were very, very high for refuge from the enemies, because from there you had a great advantage, because you were looking down on your enemies. There they could shoot from those walls, from those high towers, and it was not so very easy for the enemy to attack them within those towers. Thus, when they were in such a shelter, when they were in such a tower, what did they feel? What did they feel? You say the storm and the wind and the enemies can be all around, and they felt safe. Safe from all the dangers that threatened them. David says, for thou has been a shelter for me, and a strong tower, not just a tower, but a strong tower from the enemy. Psalm 18, David says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Oh, the soul of David experienced, felt the safety in that divine being. Solomon says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Thus, he experienced the same thing as his father David. What a powerful thing, congregation, is faith that receives the blessings that are felt, that are experienced, that do relieve from the fears of the judgments of the Lord, of justice against their sin. Thus, when David says, thou hast been a shelter for me, then David says that he has experienced in God the same thing as a person experiences when he is inside such a shelter, the shelter of a rock, when there was wind and storm all around him. That is what he felt. That is what he experienced. Thou hast been a shelter for me. Thou hast been a strong tower from the enemy. What did David feel? He was not in a strong tower. He felt that in the Lord. Or in the Lord, then he has felt that he was higher than all of his enemies. That they can shoot at him, but there is no one that is able to touch him. Because he is in such a strong high tower. Ah, he does not say, thou hast been a shelter for my neighbor. Thou hast been a shelter for Jonathan. Thou hast been a shelter for my friend. No, he says, thou hast been a shelter for me. David says, I know what it is to be in that shelter. I know what it is to be inside of that strong tower because I felt, I have experienced the safety and the protection that is inside of that tower. And now David is crying to God that God would lead him into this rock again, into this strong tower again, like he has led him before, because he says, I am not a stranger of this. What it has been inside of that shelter, but he cannot bring himself there. Oh, everyone that knows what that is, for a moment to be within that shelter, he also knows that what? He also knows that he is not able to bring himself into that shelter. He knows it. He says, it was the Lord who gave me to feel it. It was the Lord who gave me faith. It was the Lord who gave me to believe in that moment. And oh, I cannot bring myself there again. Blessed place. Blessed place that David desires to be brought in by faith. You have faith? You have faith? You say, how do I know if I have faith? How do I know if I have true faith? That is what we must examine ourselves for. The enemies of God's church are not in the first place carnal. There can be a lot of carnal enemies because the devil, he is instigating also people often against that true church of God. But the enemies of God's church are in the first place spiritual, Satan, world, sin. They are fighting against whom? All of us. All of us. But do we feel that? Only faith recognizes this as such. In other words, by nature, we are in agreement with the world and with sin and with Satan. So there is no warfare. Well, I should not say no warfare, because we all have a conscience. Let us not mistake that, congregation. Because I have a conscience, and that is speaking as that warfare in the true church. Do you know what we don't believe? We don't believe it's going to destroy us. Sin? No, we do not hate it. Actually, we love it. And now the new birth. You say, young people, I don't want it. Why? Because we love sin. Ah, you're right. I understand you. But if the Lord gives you a new heart, you will not love it anymore. And you will love something else. Ah, you will still love. You will still love. And it is such a much more blessed life than that love of sin. Do you know what the Lord puts in your heart? Faith. Faith. Oh, then you begin to believe. You begin to receive the truth. Oh, then your desires change. Oh, your judgment of what is good changes. And you believe something is good that you did not believe was good before. That is a very delightful thing. Then your choices are also changing. That you are not choosing the things that are carnal. But then you get an enemy. What is that? That is sin. Oh, true faith perceives sin as an enemy. Begins to hate it. Begins. Small beginning. Sadly, right people of the Lord, begins to flee. Small beginning. Or it begins
to fear sin. Or say it wants to destroy me. These are congregation of first actings. Do we know something of the first actings of faith? They are actings by which a man begins to flee from that city of destruction, to flee from Sodom, to flee from Gomorrah. No one can stop this. No one. No parents, wife, husband, children, no one can stop it. It is an irresistible work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. It is true. In its intensity, it waxes and wanes. It comes and goes sometimes. More, sometimes less. The life of this one, of that one, more, sometimes less. In the life of a particular person. Sometimes they are afraid. Because they think it's all gone. Because they think it's all gone. Because they say, where did it go? Because I am so hard. Because I am so cold. Because I am so dead. And because I am so unfeeling. And congregation, they can then suddenly become so very afraid that they say, where did it go? All the concerns that I had, all those fears, they are actually proof that it is not gone. And then the Lord is bringing it back again. And you know, then they are so glad. Then they are so glad when the tremblings are returning and when the concerns are returning. You say, mixed up people. Yeah. That's what the devil says too. And just mixed up in your head. It is such a paradox. And they say, yes, I don't know what is wrong with me, but I like it. And I don't like it. I don't know anything actually. Only one thing I know. I'm miserable. I'm miserable. Oh, what a paradox in the life of that people. One thing I know. Oh, I'm afraid that sin is going to have dominion over me. Only one thing I know. I can't resist it. Oh, my heart loves it. Only one thing I know. That I believe that it is going to cast me forever and ever in that place where hope shall never come. And then congregation, then the Lord appears. You say, how does it go in the life of God's people? When the Lord appears, I can't really tell you. Because it is different for everyone. But I'll give you an example for a moment. You know how he comes? He comes like this. That such a man comes in the house of God. And there he is sitting. In his wretchedness. In his misery. In his guilt. And there he is crying unto God. And then the minister comes to the pulpit. And then the first words out of his mouth are, grace be unto you and peace. And then that man hears. He hears. He says, grace. Grace. What is that? Grace. Oh, he says, I've heard this 100 times before, 1,000 times before. Grace, what is that? The congregation is a word that sounds so sweet to his ears. You say, what does he know of it? He says, I know so little of it. I do not understand what that all means, but I feel something. Oh, that little that I know. Oh, I feel something. I feel that protection. I feel that safety. Oh, grace, grace. What is that? Oh, it is as if he has never heard in his whole life what that is. He says, I feel a moment. I feel like I am hidden. Hidden in that shelter of God. Oh, I feel like I am up and above every enemy. Oh, I feel in all my sin and in all my guilt that justice is not able to overtake me. Oh, do you feel something of what is going on in the heart of this person? It can be congregation just a moment. Just a moment. Just a moment in his life. Oh, do you know what he sees something? He sees how that grace that is perfect, that it is fitting for him. For him. Oh, he feels, like David says here, that the Lord is a shelter for him. That is, for a sinner as he is. Do you know what he sees in it? He sees the solution. The solution for his own soul. He sees the necessity of this grace. He says, that is it. That is what I need. Oh, he sees it immediately. He does not need to search all religions. No. He says, if I can have grace, oh, then I am delivered. Oh, then there is nothing that is able to destroy me anymore. You understand how precious that grace now becomes unto his own soul. Grace, grace be unto thee and peace. Oh, maybe he heard nothing anymore. The whole sermon. You say, what was the text? I do not know. But did you not hear what he said? Did you not hear? He said, grace. Grace be unto you and peace. Oh, how can it be that a man can live 100 years and hear 100 sermons in a year? That's 10,000 sermons. And I have heard it over and over and over again. And never to my profit. Ah, there was no room. There was no room, oh man, in your heart. And now the Lord, he has made room there by bringing you in that place where you cannot help yourself. And now the Lord, he has come to show unto you all the way of his dear and his only begotten Son. And he has given you to taste that the Lord is gracious. And he has given you to taste something of the safety and the protection for a wretched, for a miserable, for a guilty sinner that there is in Jesus Christ. You say, you ask the man, do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? He says, to know Christ? I do not know him. He's like that man born blind. His eyes were open. But he did not yet know Jesus. Oh, he says, one thing I know. One thing I know. That whereas I was blind, he says, now I see. That is a people that know so little. Oh, there is so much to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know what they say? Oh, I do not know him so much. Oh, do I know him at all? But they say, oh Lord, Thou hast been a shelter for me. Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Ah, that they know. That they know. And that they do not dare. And to say that they do not know. Even though they say, oh, now I am at the ends of the earth. And I am in a great trouble. And it is all my fault. And I have forsaken thee, O Lord, days without number. And I cry unto thee. Oh, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, O Lord, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Oh, they are not strangers of that true saving faith and what faith receives from that hand of the Lord. And they want more. They want more. And they cannot give it unto themselves. That's why we say they remain a beggar at that throne of grace. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Actually, they comprehend so little about that strong tower. They comprehend so little. You can ask them to explain it and they can't explain it. But they felt it. They say, I'm just like a little baby. Just that little baby. I have felt. Oh, he can lay in the arms of father and mother. Can't explain nothing. But he feels something. Feels something. And as he grows older, then those people, they want to know. Oh, then they are listening. Oh, they are listening for what? They want to hear about that safe place. They want to hear about that strong tower, about that shelter. They want to hear about the foundation. They want to learn. Oh, they want the Lord to reveal unto them more and more who that this Christ is, and that God-man, the Son of Man, that Son of God. Oh, then they are hungering and thirsting that they might hear of his mediatorial work, of his active obedience, of his passive obedience. They can know so little, know so little. And yet, congregation, they can have experienced it in their heart. You know what Paul says? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That is to know him who is eternal life. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Do you say that too? Does that resonate in your heart? Do you say, I know what David is speaking about? That I am not a stranger of this in my heart, of this in my soul. Or if you have felt one moment, this is what we say. If you have felt one moment in your life of the safety of that rock, of the safety of that rock, the protection, the divine protection that is found in that Son of Man, then congregation, then you have something to say next week. You have something to say that is before all the church of God. What is it? That I am sinless? Oh, far from it. Far from it. David's confession. That was all guilt here. All guilt. But now, who the Lord is for me. Who the Lord is for me. Thou hast been a shelter for me. And a strong tower from the enemy. Doesn't mean that a person is living in that. Doesn't mean that he is living in it. David was not living in it anymore. No. David was far from it now. You see, it was his own sin. And he is driven now unto the ends of the earth. But then he is longing, because he knew what it was. Oh, he was longing that he may come there again. Oh, the Lord bring his own people. His own people to whom he has given just a little bit of faith. A little bit. That may know something of that safety, of that protection to his table. And that the Lord may glorify and magnify his work in our hearts. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but try to stammer a few words, for it is a beautiful thing. It is such a precious thing. It is ineffable. It is not describable. It is not explainable. It needs to be experienced in our hearts. Oh, that thou may give it to each and every one of us. Oh, that we might indeed look upon our own sin. That we may repent thereof. Oh, Lord, give us a true tear, one true tear from heaven in our heart, that we may shed because of our sin. And could it be also by renewal, and give thy dear Son such a place in our heart that we would say with thy servant, he is altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, without him, we can do nothing. Look upon us in this week, each and every one. Give us true self-examination. Keep us in all of our labors from a sudden and an unprepared death, and bless the work of our hands, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 133. Within thy temple, Lord, we think on mercies past. Let earth all praise accord, long as thy name shall last. The righteous judgments of her king, let Zion and her daughters sing. All the stanzas of 133.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.